I'm Donald Waters, and welcome to Pocket Cinema, a conversation show about the Oscars, The Beekeeper, Killers of the Flower Moon, and much, much more. Today on the show we have...
I'm Nate Hall, folks, and today we have actually a very special guest. It goes by the name Tyler Karsten, and he's here to audition for possibly getting third chair on this podcast. Mm-hmm. How are we doing today, Mr. Karsten?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Just got here.
You just got here? What, you have your Domino's over there? Mm-hmm. What kind of pizza did you get?
Pepperoni.
What? Pepperoni?
Pepperoni and the cheeses.
Pepperoni and cheese?
The works.
Oh, no, it wasn't the works. It was just pepperoni.
The cheesy works.
Yeah, obviously, I need his Parm Bites.
But wait, that's a box of Parm Bites, and then what's the other box? Yep.
Philly
cheese steaks.
Yeah.
Oh, can I see it, actually? I've never seen one of them look like.
Oh, my God. That looks so good.
No, it doesn't. Nothing like Viva Mia. Nothing.
Well, no. Yeah,
Viva's is much better.
I believe it.
Okay, so... As you heard on the intro, today we are going to talk about the Oscar nominations that just came out. I think, was it yesterday or 2 days ago? Or
it was like at least 2 days ago.
Yeah, these days have been blurring in my mind. All right, so we're going to go through every category in the Oscars. It'll be fun to see what movies everyone has seen, what movies Nate's seen, what movies Tyler's seen, which I know Tyler's seen every movie. He's kind of a film buff himself, you know. So let's get into it. Then after that, we are going to be talking about our picks for Best Picture.
Anything from rom-coms to anime, you know?
Yeah, Tyler loves them all. That's why he's going to be second chair instead of Nate.
Hey.
All right, so actor in a leading role, the nominees are Bradley Cooper for Maestro. Anyone else see that movie?
Not yet, no.
You watch Tyler? No? It was not good. I will say that much. Rusted. You ever hear of that? It's on Netflix?
Never heard of that.
It's on Netflix. I was going to watch it tonight, but I had work and I forgot about
it. Right.
Paul Giamatti, The Holdovers. You ever see The Holdovers?
No, I want to very much. It looks really good.
It's actually okay. You like it? You see it, Tyler?
I have not.
You haven't seen it? It's on Peacock. I mean, you should watch it. We'll invite you when we watch it.
Maybe somebody should share their account.
Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer.
Okay, you know? Yeah, of
course. Yeah, he's a fantastic actor. And Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction, which none of us has seen because our AMC is stupid.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I vote for Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm. So my vote would honestly either be, just Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer. I feel like everyone else, Paul Giamatti, he kind of plays the same character in every movie he's in. And Bradley Cooper tried way too hard for an Oscar in that movie, in my opinion. I haven't seen Rustin, though I'm sure he's great. And I haven't seen American Fiction either. Cillian Murphy, no doubt. Actor in a supporting role, Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction, Robert De Niro in Killers of the Flower Moon, which we're going to talk about later, yeah. Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling in Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo in the Poor Things movie. So the Barbie movie has actually been a major point of conversation in recent times because only... You'll see this in a minute, but only Ken was nominated in the Barbie movie. Barbie wasn't nominated. There's no Ken without Barbie. What are your thoughts on that, Nate?
That I do think is really stupid. Personally, Barbie, I didn't enjoy the movie that much. I still thought there were some really good moments, and Ryan Gosling did a great job, but Margot Robbie was still really great in it, and I think she definitely deserved, you know, like, a chance at the Oscar.
Mm-hmm. You see it, Tyler?
Nope.
You just see the Barbie movie? Wow.
But she's a really good actor.
Really establishing your credibility here for
from
third chair.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Okay. But personally, there are two movies here that I would rate a 5 out of 5, those being Poor Things and Killers of the Flower Moon. But I really want a Killers of the Flower Moon sweep. It's not going to happen, but I would pick Robert De Niro. Who would you pick, Robert Downey Jr.?
Yeah, it's really, really close, though, because Robert De Niro was so good in Killers of the Flower Moon. It's one of my favorite performances, but, like, there's something with RDJ and Oppenheimer, and, like, that's one of the first roles I've seen him, like, outside of Iron Man, and it was great. It was just so interesting. I think he did a really good job with the acting, so it's a close call, but I'm probably leaning towards Robert Downey Jr.
For those at home who heard a rapper crackling, Tyler is currently eating a Twinkie that he said he didn't want, by the way. I was looking forward to eating those after the show. Actress in a leading role, Annette Bening in Naiad. Ever heard of that movie?
No.
No, it's on Netflix. I was. That's another one that I'm gonna watch eventually. Lily Gladstone and Killers of the Flower Moon, which obviously I want her to win. She was amazing. First Native American to be nominated for
cool.
Best Actress. So that's actually really cool. We have Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall, which was an amazing movie that I just watched the other day. Carrie Mulligan in Maestro and Emma Stone in Poor Things. I really liked Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall, but for me, it's going to be Lily Gladstone, even though Emma Stone also gave a fantastic performance. What about you?
I probably would lean towards Emma Stone. Lily Gladstone was really great in The Killers of the Flower Moon, but I guess it also helped getting to see Poor Things in a theater and seeing Emma Stone on the big screen just playing such an interesting character, something I've never seen her do before, was really cool. And I think she, like, just knocked it out of the park. She did a great job with it and handled the character really well.
So which one would you pick?
I'm going to go with Emma Stone, most likely.
Okay. Actress in a supporting role, Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer, Daniel Brooks in The Color Purple, your favorite movie of the year, Nate. America Ferrera in Barbie, Jodie Foster in Nyad, and Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers, which I don't know how to pronounce that lady's name, but she was amazing in The Holdovers, and I really liked Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer, but personally I'm going to have to give it to her for The Holdovers. It was just an incredible performance, even though America Ferrera gave the feminism speech in Barbie that we talked about in my rhetorical theory class today, which was actually pretty interesting. But, yeah, The Holdovers lady, I don't know how to pronounce her name, and I'm so sorry about that. But Joy Randolph, that's my pick. What about you?
It's pronounced Nate Hall. He's in every movie.
Oh, yeah.
I've only seen Oppenheimer as an entire pick.
And The Color Purple.
Yeah, I saw The Color Purple, we'll say.
Wait, was Tyler invited to Color Purple?
I was invited.
You would have slept through the entire
Nate
thing.
Nate put in his AirPods and listened to podcasts and slept.
Halfway through, I'm just like,
It was not great.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Emily Blunt and Oppenheimer.
Just like Ferrari when we walked out.
Next, animated feature film, The Boy and the Heron, which I didn't get to see, and I'm still really upset about that. Elemental, which was pure garbage. Nimona, which is really loud and obnoxious, and I have 20 minutes left of that movie, and I'm probably never going to finish it. Robot Dreams, which is not widely available because people are mean and don't want me to see movies. And Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which is a 5 out of 5 movie, a masterpiece for me. I am going to pick Nimona. No, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Scared me for a second there.
This is for animation?
Mm-hmm. Yes, not Demon Slayer didn't get nominated.
None of your animes got nominated.
They got biased against Jeff.
Yeah.
Before I even go into that, I guess, can we talk about how TMNT got robbed?
Here? I know.
Like,
God.
It was so good.
Elemental over TMNT?
I'm going to go Nimona over TMNT is the problem. Elemental, I really like.
Demon Slayer.
Yeah, Demon Slayer sure
Demon
got
Slayer
robbed.
Demon Slayer had way better animation than it.
Yeah, no, I'm upset with TMNT not getting nominated. I'm a big superhero nerd, so easily it's still Across the Spider-Verse for me, as I loved every second of that movie. But The Boy and the Heron is also a very good pick. Obviously, you know, it's another Miyazaki. I don't remember when his last one even came out. But it's the first Ghibli I've got to see in theaters, which was, that was just an amazing experience on its own.
Was his last one The Wind Rises?
Maybe.
In 2013?
That might have been. And geez, that's a long time.
That's a good movie, though. So I think all around the board, we're going with Spider-Man. Are you going to go with Spider-Man, Tyler? Is that the only one you saw?
Yep.
Okay. You didn't see Robot Dreams? I thought you were in the Academy.
I was. I wish. Okay. They had to include the first Slam Dunk or Smith Village. I did not.
Okay. Cinematography, and I've actually seen all of these nominees, which, you know, no mean to brag, but, you know. El Conde, which was not very successful in my opinion. The cinematography was amazing, but as a movie, it was, yeah. Killers of the Flower Moon, that's a really, really good movie, and I would say that wins the cinematography in my book. Maestro, Oppenheimer, which, well, I have to admit, the cinematography in Maestro is really good. Oppenheimer, which, again, same thing, and Poor Things, same, but Killers of the Flower Moon, all the way. That's my pick.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to have to go with Killers of the Flower Moon. Oppenheimer had good cinematography, and there's some great stuff, but I think that's one of the areas Killers of the Flower Moon did shine in really well. And I'm not a big, like, I'm not able to go in-depth with movies as much as, like, Donald is, but there are some things I can still pick out. That's something I think I saw here.
I would go with Killers of the Flower Moon if I saw it, but if we're talking about movies we saw, after the Oppenheimer.
Costume design? Ooh, another one I've seen all the movies in. Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I would probably go Barbie with costume design, honestly. The costume, Killers of the Flower Moon, obviously, fantastic costume. But Barbie, that production design and costumes for Barbie is my pick.
Yeah, I'll give Barbie this one. That's one of the best parts of that movie was how, like, colorful it was. And then, obviously, here was the costume design. All of it was really good and, like, really unique in some areas. That was just so nice to see. And that made me happy. That was one part that, you know, gave it some credit.
Tyler was agreeing, even though he didn't see the movie.
I'd probably go with Barbie. No, it's more like cartoon than anything else.
Actually, that's a good point. It was very, so it was fantastical.
You have a lot more room I see for your costume
fantasy
design.
Is what you're trying to say. Yeah. Directing. Anatomy of a Fall, which had very good directing, but I'll have to give it to the next one, Martin Scorsese, for Killers of the Flower Moon, because he only ever won for The Departed in 2006, which is a scam and a shame. Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest, which I haven't seen because people are mean and don't want me to watch movies, once again. But I've seen everything else, and it's either between Anatomy of a Fall and Killers of the Flower Moon, but I'll have to give it to Scorsese.
For me, it's between Killers of the Flower Moon and Oppenheimer, and
I'll make the choice for you. Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer?
I think I'll go with Oppenheimer.
Boom.
Well, nope, scratch that. No, I'm going to give this one to Killers of the Flower Moon, because I got something else in mind for Oppenheimer.
Okay. Going to skip over documentary, because none of us have seen any of
those. It's all Oppenheimer. That's all it is.
Film editing. We got Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Going to have to give it to Poor Things. The editing in that movie, how it goes from black and white in the beginning to color and halfway through the movie.
I'm going to go with Poor Things, too, because I completely forgot about that. So I have terrible memory sometimes when it comes to movie. It's a great thing you pointed that out with the black and white color, black and white. It looked so good. You're right, the editing was really great in that movie. And I'm going to definitely agree with that. Poor Things definitely deserves that category.
Okay. 100%. I also agree.
You agree?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Wow. We're going to skip over the other ones. Actually, score is actually ridiculous. Did you see what was nominated for score?
No.
American Fiction, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Right there. Yep, let's go.
So I was joking. Well, I bet this was your reaction.
There we go. Thank you.
Hum to me a song from Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, and not the Indiana Jones main theme.
Hum to me a song from Killers of the Flower Moon.
Pass.
No, yeah. That's hard.
That's what she said. And finally, the one we have all been waiting for. Best Picture! Wow. And this category, let me tell you, folks, I have not seen two of the movies on this list because people are mean and don't want me to watch movies.
Same, I wasn't invited.
Okay. American Fiction, which I haven't seen. Anatomy of a Fall, which... that's what that movie deserves. Barbie, another... pretty good choices so far. The Holdovers, which is meh, but it's okay. Killers of the Flower Moon! Woo! Maestro. Oppenheimer. Past Lives. Yeah, it was good. It was. It's in my top 10. It's pretty good. Poor Things. Yeah. And then The Zone of Interest, which I have not seen yet because people are mean and don't want me to watch movies.
So, Is it a thing? Can animated movies not be nominated for Best Picture? Has that happened before? I'm not remembering.
Toy Story 3 has been nominated for Best Picture, so it can.
So let's see.
What anime movie?
There's a very distinct film that is missing from here that I think I personally would definitely say deserved the Oscar.
Demon Slayer Swordsman.
No. But I think it definitely deserved at least a nomination because it was a hit. It did so well. And obviously that Spider-Man Across Spider-Verse. Is Boy and the Heron in there?
I thought you were going to say Elemental.
Yep. Yeah, that's even better than both.
I agree. However, we are not the Academy of Motion Arts and Sciences, and so we do not pick the nominees for Best Picture, which is why we are going to do our own afterwards. Right. So, in my opinion, Best Picture is Killers of the Flower Moon! And I think you agree, hopefully.
I think I agree. I'm going to say it's probably the movie of the year for me, or like movie on that list. Mainly, I need to rewatch Oppenheimer, but when I do, I'm pretty certain it's like Killers of the Flower Moon is going to be better.
You got to watch it with a bass, like a subwoofer.
Or your $1,200 speaker.
Yeah.
Connected to the TV.
It really give you that boom.
So, Tyler, your pick would be Oppenheimer?
It would be.
Okay.
Because when that speaker's on, upstairs in a closed door, you can still feel the bass.
Okay. So, that was our Oscars breakdown, and now we are going to go into our honorable mentions first for our 2023 Best Picture nominees.
Can I go first for honorable mentions?
Yeah.
None?
Okay.
Absolutely no movies deserve any honorable mentions
really?
On my list.
Really? How many have you seen this
Zero.
Year?
Zero. I have seen 10 movies.
That's actually a new record. So I'm going to go first because I have a lot. And I'm not going to go over, I'm just going to say the title of these. I'm not going to over any of them. Now, don't interrupt my monologue, people. Talk to Me, Showing Up, Fair Play, Infinity Pool, 1001, Creed 3, Inside, Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, Evil Dead Rise, Air, The Super Mario Brothers Movie, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, They Clone Tyrone, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, terrible title, Holdovers, No One Will Save You, Godzilla Minus One, The Iron Claw, Leo, and Wonka. And Nate has a shocked face. That probably because some of those didn't make my list.
I don't. Some of them, yes. Mainly Guardians 3? Dang. That's mean. So I only have are we just doing honorable mentions or did you do your time?
Honorable mention.
I got two that I listed, that being Blue Beetle and Napoleon. Okay. But also, I'm thinking Elemental would also be another honorable mention for me.
Did you get into your top 10?
No.
I made it onto mine.
I saw more than 10 movies this year. Or last year.
So I'm going to go last for the top 10. Let's do Tyler first, because I'm actually very interested.
Why wouldn't we just, go all around?
You first.
Oh, like number 10. That's actually a very good idea. Sure. That's why Tyler's going to be second chair, Nate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. My number 10 is a movie called Past Lives, and this movie is very, very beloved, and it's very popular, and I just feel like it's a little bit, when I was first watching it, I was like, okay, boy meets girl, boo-hoo. Then at the end, I was like, boy meets girl! But yeah, so, thinking about the end of that was Nate drinking coffee, because people don't want me to monologue. Past Lives, yeah, it was very good, and I would highly recommend it to both of you.
I'm an idiot and didn't count. I also had one more honorable mention. I'll just throw it in there. It's Poor Things.
That's honorable mention?
It's, you know, it's just because, yeah.
Okay.
My number 10 is The Iron Claw. I thought this movie was really good. I really loved a lot of it. The ending really kind of hit home with me. So it made me sad. I was kind of tearing up there. So I think it just emotionally was very good. And I think the acting all across the board was very well done. And I enjoyed it, even though it was a longer movie, which I'm struggling to get through now.
TikTok ruining our attention spans out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my number 10 would be Megan.
Okay.
Do not recommend it to anybody.
Interesting pick. It's about monologue a little bit about it.
Yep. It's about a robot who is made to be a friend to her niece.
And the robot's niece?
No. about a woman who has to take care of her niece.
Ah.
And her niece is lonely, so she makes a robot to be her friend. And she becomes really obsessive and has her own mind and murderous.
Spoiler alert for Megan. Want to say your thoughts on it, or not just a plot?
That was the thought.
That was very.
I don't recommend it to anybody.
Okay.
Was there anything specific about it? That was.
There's really no story.
Okay, that's fair.
It's just flat.
Yeah, I see. Mm-hmm.
Character development for almost anybody. The character doesn't really have any emotion to her at all.
Wait, which character?
The daughter.
Okay. Niece. Yes. Yeah, no, okay. It's been a hot minute since I've seen that. Yeah. That'll be the only time I ever see it because I don't want to watch that again.
Never.
So what you're telling me is you'll be front and center for Megan Part 2.
Yeah,
I'll watch. Hopefully it can redeem itself if there is a number 2.
All right, so my number 9 is a movie called May December. This is a Netflix original movie. It is about an actress who goes to a town where there's a student who... a teacher who was married, who was dating a student, a high school student, and she is dating him and gets arrested for it. And then when she's out of jail, he's of age, and then she starts to date him again, and they get married, and they have kids and all this. And then an actress comes to their town and basically studies them because they're going to make a movie about... It's a very meta movie. It's also very interesting. It's... very well acted, very well shot. It's a very, very good movie, and I highly recommend it.
So, kind of like the Adam Sandler movie?
Which one?
I don't know the name.
Describe it.
He did.
Wow.
It was...
The student?
He has a relationship with the teacher.
Billy Madison?
There you go.
What?
I don't know the names of the movies.
Okay.
Good, interesting take.
But yeah, that's a Netflix original, and I really liked it. It was good.
So my number 9 is The Boy and the Heron, which might be a little low, but honestly, the other movies I got on here are so good that, like, Boy and the Heron fell short for me. It's still a great movie, and I do think everybody needs to see if they can. But pretty much it's about a boy and a heron.
No.
So... It starts out with the boy being in a city, and there's a big fire accident where his mom was in a hospital, and spoilers here, I guess, but this is literally the beginning of the movie. Fortunately, she passed away, and his father, finds a new partner, and the big center, focus of this movie is that they go live with what the boy's now is stepmother, and... She gets really sick, and somehow it goes to another world. And yeah, I'm not going to say much more, so you should see this. I'm terrible at remembering things. But it is very good. There's very good moments. I saw the dub because I prefer dub over sub.
We all do. I think we're all team dub, right?
Team dub?
Team dub?
We do.
Dub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dub like W?
W, because the dubs are taking Ws.
Everybody
else, she was a team sub.
I listen.
No, that's my brother who's not in this room right now because he's in Boston.
No, it's me because I listen to sub if the dub's not out. I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm impatient.
Okay.
Anyway. So that's my number 9. It's very good.
What's your number 9, Tyler?
My number 9 would be Blue Beetle.
Blue Beetle. That's actually decent. Tell us about Blue Beetle.
I feel like they just tried shoving so much information in such just one movie.
Tell us about that information. What happened in the movie? What's it about to the people at home who haven't seen it?
See, there's not very much. There's not very much story to tell.
It's about a kid, right?
Yeah, and
finds a scarab that turns him into the Blue Beetle.
Yep.
Right.
That's basically the movie.
His family's very poor.
Yeah.
So he's trying to get a job at a mega corporation.
Well, see, that's just the entire movie.
Yeah.
Those are very small points.
No, but that's what the movie's about. You want to set the stage for the audience who's about to watch it at home on Max.
Yeah, that's right.
Based on your recommendation.
Yeah, I'm very bad at describing movies, though.
Okay.
It's about a poor kid who finds a very valuable alien technology that turns him into a superhero.
What did you like about it?
Very little.
Okay.
You didn't like it?
It was a superhero movie.
Didn't like George Lopez, the uncle?
That did add a couple points there for him being a part of the movie. But, yeah, that's why it's also just right above Megan.
So you didn't enjoy it.
I'd recommend it. It's a decent movie. It's just not anywhere.
It passed your sleep test, right?
Yes.
Okay, so for the listeners at home who don't know that, Tyler sleeps during basically every movie, and he's going to tell us.
For you people at home who don't know, I have narcolepsy?
Yeah, he has narcolepsy, okay. And they put up the
quotation
fingers. So what we call the Tyler sleep test is if he falls asleep during movies. And Blue Beetle passed the Tyler T-Man sleep test. So that's what that means.
Also did Megan.
Mm-hmm. And he'll tell us when he fell asleep during a movie. Mm-hmm. So my number 8 is a movie called The Killer by director David Fincher, he did The Social Network, he did Gone Girl, he did a bunch of really, really good movies.
Yeah, I just saw that recently, The Social Network.
Isn't it good?
Wait, just recently?
Yeah.
When?
I think like a month ago, right before it left Netflix.
Okay.
I love that movie.
It's very good, yes.
So The Killer is about a killer, obviously. The beginning starts with him, you know, stretching. He's listening to the Smiths because he's a cool guy.
Oh, yeah.
And then his mission, he's supposed to kill someone, and the mission goes wrong, and then things take off from there. It's a very good movie, very simple movie, kind of a short movie, but it had an amazing soundtrack. He's literally me because I have stretched while listening to the Beatles before. I have stretching, or not the Beatles, the Smiths. I have a stretching routine that I have to do every night or else I cannot move when I wake up in the morning, and I've done it consistently every night for like 2 years now, and I sometimes listen to podcasts, but I mostly listen to music, and I basically went through the Smiths' entire discography while stretching. They have an album called like The Smiths Complete or something, and I just did that every night while I was stretching. So he's literally me, and Meet His Murder is the best Smiths album. So there you go. That's The Killer. Nate, what's your number 8?
My number 8, man. Number 1 in my heart, not really, but it's the Super Mario Bros. Movie. Mm-hmm. I was so excited for this movie to come out. You know, the trailers I thought looked great. Visually, this movie's so beautiful.
Phenomenal.
The music's great. I personally think all the acting is very good. Chris Pratt did a pretty good job. Yeah, he's, you know, an interesting choice for Mario, but I think he delivered well. I think he did a pretty good job with it, and I'm hoping for the same exact thing with Garfield. But I love Charlie Day as Luigi. In fact, that's probably my favorite performance in the movie, which is hard to say because Jack Black as Bowser is absolutely amazing. He did such a good job. I think he just captured the character very well and
wrote a hit song
that didn't get nominated for the Oscars.
Mm-hmm. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, stupid. But I guess if you haven't seen this movie yet, pretty much it's about two plumbers that are brothers, Mario and Luigi, who live in Brooklyn and are trying to get their plumbing job, like kind of the kickoff. They're trying to start this business. They just quit their construction company, and they had a job, and it didn't go well, and then, you know, as Mario's sad, kind of, he looks at the news, and they're like, Brooklyn's flooding, and Mario's like, oh, let's save Brooklyn, and pretty much from there, they find a green pipe, and the rest is history. If you watch this movie, if you haven't, you definitely need to. It's a fun time. It's really enjoyable, and it's good I feel like it's a great family movie. Sure, it does. Technically, it's probably not amazing. I understand that. But there's just so much Nintendo references. And there's just, I feel like, so much effort put into this from Illumination that I'm so happy to see it.
Luma is the star of the show. Or I don't know the star's name. I don't think it's
Luma. Did you just say that Luma, who is a star, is the star of the show?
Mm-hmm. Oh!
Okay, what's your number 8?
Before we move on, technically Mario didn't pass the Tyler sleep test.
Oh.
That's right.
There was a little help from a 6-year-old.
Took a little napsy.
Well, some 6-year-old was very passionate about me seeing it. But number 8 would be Napoleon which did pass the Tyler sleep test.
That surprised me.
Didn't pass the Donald sleep test.
It had really good action scenes.
Like kind of how the battles. Action was choreographed.
Battles,
yes.
And great
sex scenes.
For the folks who know what that is.
And then great way to learn about Napoleon's history. Overall, pretty good.
Did you think what did you think of Joaquin Phoenix's performance of Napoleon?
Who's that? Oh, he was Napoleon.
Yeah. Also known pretty for Joker. Jinx.
Yep, never seen that either.
What?
All right.
So, yeah. I don't get invited to movies very much. nobody has caught on yet.
Okay, so my number 7 is a movie called Barbie. It's very little. It's a pretty underground movie. I don't know if anybody in the audience has really seen it. It wasn't like it was a cultural milestone for movies or anything. So Barbie stars.
Just a repeat of Black Panther.
What?
Black Panther over again.
So Barbie stars Margot Robbie as Barbie, and she lives in a Barbie world. She's a Barbie girl who lives in a Barbie world. She's dancing. They're singing "Dance the Night Away," and
she
then
started singing Barbie.
And then no, that song's not in the movie. There's a remix of it.
But they had so much opportunity to play
it. I know. There's a remix of it. And she says, "Do you guys ever think about dying?" And she has to go to Weird Barbie because Weird Barbie knows the truth about the world, and Margot Robbie has to go to the human world with Ken, and she learns about the patriarchy, and then America Ferrera gives a very passionate speech that was very good, and then at the end she learns the true power of feminism. And I'm saying that like it's sarcastic, but I don't know any other way to say that because I'm a man with male privilege. But the movie was very good. I highly recommend it. It made me laugh very much. I like Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell's pretty good in that. Yeah, he was comical.
he was pretty comical.
As always.
He was goofy. My number 7 is quite a... probably my surprise movie of the year. I did not expect it to be this good. And by that, I mean, like, it's literally, to me, it's a perfect movie. I found nothing wrong with it. It was just super fun. And I'm talking about Wonka here. Wonka was, I don't know, I really didn't, I didn't think it was going to be a musical. The trailers didn't really, I think, make it look like a musical. I'm like, I'll see it probably. But, like, it looks alright. From the trailers, I just thought it looked alright. Then me and my friends watched it in the theater. We got to see it actually at our local theater, which is something we really like to do when we can. Because we like to support that business, and it's a really nice place. It's just, you know, I don't get to do it that often. So this is about Willy Wonka, when he was pretty much before Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, if that's where, you know, if you have that other rendition. But it's him trying to get a start in the chocolate business, and that's where we kind of get tied in with the chocolate mafia and all this fun stuff. And you meet, like, a colorful cast of characters. The music is so, like, really good. I love the music in this. And I've seen the TikTok trends, like, they're all rating the songs. You guys got to stop hating on Scrub so much. It's so good. But, yeah, that's a movie. It's a treat. You need to go watch that. I think it's worth your time. And it's short. It's perfect.
Okay, Tyler, number 7?
Number 7 is the first slam dunk.
Oh.
Didn't pass the sleep test.
It absolutely did not pass the sleep test. But
how long is it? Isn't it only an hour and a half?
I think so.
For about the 30 minutes I've seen, animation's pretty good.
That it is really nice.
And it had a pretty nice story.
Which was?
I can't give you very much details on the story. If our co-host Nate wanted to elaborate on the story for my number 7 pick.
Before Nate does so, is it based on, like, a TV show, or is it, like, a new...
It's an anime.
Yeah.
So it's based off, I don't know the creator's name, but it's based off, I think there's a manga. I think it started as a manga. It's called Slam Dunk. It's a basketball manga. And
I can give the little beginning. It's about a little brother who would play basketball every day with his big brother. And then his big brother went off to the army or something, or died on a.
I think so.
He went fishing with his friends.
Yes.
And died at sea, and then his little brother took place. Being the starter.
Yeah,
in high school.
Yeah.
With the same number as his brother. And his mother wasn't, and their mother wasn't very approving.
Right.
Of him taking the same number and being, and looking at the trophies of his older brother.
Yes. Yeah, that gives you an idea of kind of what's happening. It's about this kid, he's put into kind of the basketball game after his brother's passing. But it is really good, and the animation itself is some of the best that I've seen. Now, compared to this year's, it's probably, like, not as, you know, as spectacular as Cross the Spider-Verse or Mario Bros. Or maybe even Boy and the Heron. But it has such a unique art style that's really good. Unfortunately, Tyler couldn't really tell you that because it didn't pass the sleep test.
Mm.
But do you have any... What did you like? Do you have any thoughts that you can give? Like, was it good from what you saw?
Yeah.
Okay.
I said I had the animation.
So my number six is a movie called Anatomy of a Fall. It is a foreign movie, but it's half French, half English. So it's about this author and her husband gets killed, and it looks like he fell, but there's also things start coming up that makes you think that maybe she did kill her husband, that or that it was a suicide because the husband was very unhappy. I'm not going to give it away, but it's a very intriguing movie. The basically whole movie takes place in a courthouse, and it's 2.5 hours long, but that's for a reason, because you're supposed to feel as if you're in the courtroom, and you can see audience members in the courthouse start looking exhausted and everything, and that's how you're feeling during the movie, because you know that she didn't do it, but the whole hook is maybe she did, and I'm not going to say whether she did or not, obviously, but it's a very unique movie. It was really interesting. There's a scene involving a dog that made me cry. The dog does not die. If a dog dies in a movie, I will let everybody know before I recommend it, but the dog does not die, thank God. Yeah, very, very awesome movie, and I would highly recommend it, and I want to watch it again. You do have to rent it on Apple TV for $6, but it's 2.5 hours long. You're going to get your money's worth. It's a good movie.
It's not terrible, yeah. I was just about to ask, where did you see it, but you already told us. But I might check that out. That sounds really cool. I thought it looked like a good movie, but never obviously had the chance. My number six is possibly my second surprise movie of this year. Was Godzilla Minus One. I really, really, really loved this movie. And I'm not really a big Godzilla fan. I don't know if I've seen, like, I've seen maybe one other movie of Godzilla's. And
Godzilla directed them, right?
Yeah, Godzilla directed them.
From Godzilla's filmography, you've only seen one other movie?
Yeah, I think
so. He's directed over 30 movies.
Right, so many, you know. Oh, there's so many great ones from what I hear.
Yeah.
But Godzilla Minus One was surprisingly really amazing. Pretty much, it's the set, like, the scene. It's about a kamikaze pilot. That's what I think what they're called. But he needed to land on a island that they had to repair, like, kamikaze planes or fuel them back up. And he was acting like something was wrong with his plane, which he was just kind of, you know, nervous. And he didn't want to go through with it. So he goes down onto the island, and he kind of stays there for the night, and they find out that nothing's wrong with the plane, but that doesn't really amount to anything, because they hear that a monster is sighted, like, something huge, and of course, that's Godzilla. So, Godzilla takes down the base, and that kind of opens us up to where we go to in the future. We go back to, not really far in the future, not at all, but he goes back in Japan. He goes back to his hometown, where it's completely destroyed from all the bombings, and yeah. Yeah, I don't want to say anything more about the story from there. You definitely need to go see this, but it did such an amazing job of kind of, for me, I thought it told the kind of tale of survivor's guilt, which Godzilla being this big thing of survivor's guilt, and you get that, like, really good mix of big monster, scary monster attacking city, and you also get a good human story, which I've heard is a problem with Godzilla films that they don't really ever do. So I think they struck a perfect balance from what I saw. And I definitely recommend this movie to anybody. And the music's great. The special effects or the CGI is amazing. With such a small budget they had, too, I don't know how the Marvel's going to do something like this. But, yeah, definitely go see this if you can. It's definitely worth your time.
We'll say this did not pass the Donald sleep test. But it was on my honorable mentions because I thought it was very good. Tyler.
Brings me to number 6. That is a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem.
Mm.
Woo! 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 What's that?
I would say it is about the group of ninja turtles. A group of turtles.
Wait, what age are they? Are they teenage? Are they adult?
Yeah, I think they're adolescent. 16?
Turtles that get transformed by ooze. Okay. You have to fight other animals or insects that have also been transformed by the ooze.
Ooh.
That is a telling of the DMT.
What did you like about it, Tyler?
Great animation. And great plot twist.
My number 5 is also a little-known movie. I don't know if anybody has ever seen it before. It's called Oppenheimer.
Oh, what's
it's
that?
About yeah, it's about this this guy. I think his name was Oppenheimer or something like that. He built a very bad thing called the atomic bomb. And what we did with that atomic bomb, I don't think is appropriate to say on a podcast. Cue the Simpsons. But it's a very good movie. Yeah, not much else to say. It's one of those every few years great movie kind of thing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So my number 5 is also Oppenheimer, and you know, you already gave pretty much a good idea of what it is. And I won't say much more because seriously, just go out and see this movie. I understand it's long. I sat in the theater. I understand, but it's such a good experience. This is one of Christopher Nolan's best, probably my favorite, and this is coming from a comic book nerd, but I also am not a big fan of the Dark Knight trilogy. It's very good, but not my favorite.
Except we walked out the first time.
Okay, we did walk out the first time. That's because we got front row seats of IMAX, and boy, those images don't lie. It's an interesting way to watch a movie, but we went and saw it again later that night because we have AMC membership, so we get it for free. But yes, an amazing movie. Like, overall, acting great. When I can remember, the music was pretty good. But of course, the big thing was the practical effects with all the bombs. Yes. Good job, Nolan.
And Einstein.
And yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But no, seriously, do yourself a favor. Go see this movie. I mean, it's all available on, like, Blu-ray 4K. If you have 4K, definitely go watch this on 4K. But however you can, please watch this movie.
Hey, Tyler. All
right. That brings me to number 5, is the Super Mario movie.
Huh. Tell us about it. He already did, but yeah, tell us your thoughts.
We already touched up on it earlier. it was pretty good. Didn't pass the Tyler sleep test. Had a pretty, it was pretty colorful, pretty good effects and animation, and great voice actors, as said previously.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All around, I would recommend it.
Okay, my number 4 is a movie called Beau is Afraid. This is actually a little-known movie. People in film circles have heard about it because it's by Ari Aster, who made Hereditary and Midsommar. Mm-hmm. Midsommar is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. And Beau is Afraid is up there. I want to see it again, but it's almost 3 hours. I think, Tyler, you can eat your Domino's. It doesn't matter. We talked about it at the top of the show. It's okay. So Beau is Afraid, it's over 3 hours long, and it's very, very hard to describe. It's pretty abstract. The beginning is especially what hooked me, especially as somebody who takes antidepressants. It stars Joaquin Phoenix. He's amazing in it. So the beginning of the movie is Joaquin Phoenix needs to take his pill, but he doesn't have any water lying around because he's very, very poor. And he takes his pill, he sees on the bottle that if you don't take the pill with water, then bad things can happen, and bad things do happen, and, it made my heart pound. I was literally freaking out. It's a trigger warning, it is a scary movie. The end is maybe my favorite finale of any movie in the past 20 years. It was just mind-blowing, and I heavily recommend it for those of you who are not, I guess the word would be triggered easily, because it is very, it's very hard to watch, but I liked it a lot.
So that was, I'm guessing you gave that a 5 out of 5, right?
And 9.
9, okay.
4.5 out of 5, because it's very long, but I want to see it again.
Yes, I do own that, and I really do need to watch it. I just haven't got to it yet, but after you just talked about it, that sounds really good, and I might try to watch it this weekend.
And that's the point of the show.
Yeah. Okay, so my number 4, this is probably going to make somebody mad over here, Donald, is Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh.
I feel like that should speak. What are the top 3 going to be? They got to be amazing. Yeah, they are, trust me. But, no, Killers of the Flower Moon, as we've already talked about a good bit, is really, really good. I was surprised by it. Like, it seemed interesting. I think it's my first Scorsese I've ever seen, and I'm pretty happy with it. But I believe, I thought it was supposed to be about, like, the start of the FBI. Well, there's stuff about the FBI. Was it kind of, like, when the FBI was in its early stages?
Yeah, the book touched on it a lot more. I've heard, I haven't read the book, but apparently it's what created the FBI.
Ah, see, that I do want to read the book. But yes, I thought this was really good, and I don't know how to describe, like, what type of movie it is, but...
Historical drama.
Historical drama. Yeah. It was really good. It's something I really enjoyed, because I do love history in ways like that, watching it, learning. That's something I really love to do, and if any of you viewers out there, or listeners, I should say... also kind of that way, like, you love history, but, you know, you really like to take it visually, kind of film format, or maybe documentary. This is obviously more of a film, but this is definitely worth your time. It's on Apple TV Plus, you don't have to pay, it's part of the subscription, and you can probably get, like, a month free, too, so definitely try to use that and try to watch that movie. It's amazing. 10 out of 10.
Hey, Tyler?
Number 4. About a big boom boom.
Big, oh, okay.
Oppenheimer.
I mean, you pretty much gave us the whole enchilada right there, but what did you like about it?
I like the boom boom.
You like the boom boom? Mm-hmm. Did you like the acting, the cinematography, the music?
More the boom boom.
Boom boom.
Especially when we're boom boom. Mm.
That it?
Yeah, huh? Boom, boom. Recommend very, if you like math, science, or anything else. Or boom, boom.
History. If you like history.
If you like math, go and see Oppenheimer.
This talk some math. Did science. I math? Did I understand it?
No. Okay. Number 3, much to maybe the surprise of someone else in this room right now, will be Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Nate's going to take off his headphones in rage. The movie was amazing. It's a 5 out of 5 movie. It's a wonderful animation. It's part 2 of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I don't think I need to give a plot description other than that, because anything else will spoil it.
Yes.
But it's a very good movie. Very long, which is why I had my reservations about it at first, but I've rewatched it maybe 2 or 3 times, and it's really good.
Over the goat.
And I have the 4K physical Blu-ray, and it looks amazing. Number 3.
My number 3 is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which is an interesting theater experience for me, because it was one of the movies... I don't go to the movie theaters by myself much. It's not something I really like to do. But it was like the day this movie released, I'm like, okay, I have nothing going on, and I kind of want to just go see this. And none of my friends were available, and some of my friends just didn't seem interesting to see it. No, he wasn't. So I'm like, all right, I'll go see it. So I watched it in Ada. I got to see it in 3D, too, by chance. And holy crap, this knocked me out of the water. The state that Marvel is in right now, which is disgusting, I wasn't really expecting much. It was James Gunn, so, you know, I was hopeful, and he did a great job delivering. I'm not spoiling this movie. If you've seen the first two, you're going to love this one. I think it's a great send-off, and we have, you know, it's open to keep going, but I think what is there is amazing. It's sad. I teared up in that theater, but it's a great trilogy overall. You absolutely need to see this movie. James Gunn, I think, if he picks the, like, music, not like the scoring, but like the actual like soundtrack with the awesome mix. He did a stellar job with this one, like the other ones. So it's on Disney Plus. Go watch this if you have not yet, right now.
Okay, Tyler.
My number three is Iron Claw.
Ooh.
Great action-packed movie about a family.
People should go in expecting a feel-good sports movie, right?
Yes, a feel-good movie of the year. Yes.
No, you should not.
There is a plot hole. There was two dogs at one point, and then there was one at the very end. Only thing I have to say bad about the movie. Otherwise, really great.
The dogs, that was the problem?
Yes. great family. Great movie about the family. I forget the name.
Von Erichs.
Von Erichs, yes.
Yep. Great movie about the Von Erichs. And then, great wrestling movie. Recommend it.
Isn't it boxing?
It's wrestling.
Dude, I don't know.
I think it's boxing.
Apparently, these two haven't seen the movie. It's wrestling.
Give me a second.
What's the difference
between wrestling and boxing?
Yeah. There's a big difference. Boxing,
Are there boxes involved in boxing?
Yes.
It is wrestling.
Okay, it's wrestling.
Tyler was right.
So boxing, well, I mean, I feel like I've seen people punch in wrestling before. I don't watch this, though.
I'm trying to get into
boxing. But boxing, you wear boxing gloves.
I'm pretty sure they were boxing gloves at some point.
No.
Okay.
Well, it is wrestling, so.
Yeah, it's wrestling.
My number two is also it was a close tie between these two, but my number two is Poor Things. Yeah. I think we already talked about it. It's basically a Frankenstein remake, and I don't want to give away too much about it. What was I going to say? If you like good movies, go see it. Okay. So that's my number two. I don't want to talk too much about Poor Things, but it was really good.
That's okay. My second favorite movie of this year is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Mutant Mayhem. It would have been this summer that I really got into kind of the whole TMNT mania, which I don't know if it's an actual thing. I mean, I know people were crazy about the Turtles back when they first came out, and I started reading the original comics made by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, and they are just so great. But it really got me back into the kind of Turtles hype. You know, I've played the games now. In fact, when I went to North Carolina, I went to an Alamo Draft House, which I've been to before, and I saw Marcel Lachelle there, which is really good. But anyways, I went with Tyler over here, who never gets invited, apparently.
Invited you!
We watched TMNT, the original live-action one, which is by far my favorite TMNT movie. One of, like, the best movies I've ever seen. It's so good and does a great job of capturing them. But it was really great. Didn't pass the Tyler sweep test at all. Just because he's kind of an idiot.
It did, because they served me food the entire time.
Yeah, once the food was gone, he was out. This movie, though, did something that I haven't really... TMNT hasn't done in a while, actually. I don't think they've ever done this, excuse me. So, as Tyler's poor description of this was, let me give a better one. The movie starts out with Baxter Stockman, and he has a bunch of, like, baby animals. And he's got this secret ooze, and he's working kind of for the government. And this is Zeus, so you know what that is. But pretty much the government's coming to take him down and steal that ooze, I think, to use their own benefit. And pretty much what happens is it kind of breaks open and some slips down the drain, which we know falls on the turtles. And not only that, it also falls on some of the other animals. That becomes important later. But the turtles become mutants, and so does the rat, which is Splinter, obviously. And that's kind of where our story starts. I don't want to go much more in. That's, you know, what you'd expect. But what they do here is very different because they talk a lot about... this movie went into a lot more detail kind of on the teenage aspect of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But it's just something we haven't seen much. Cause the thing with this one is they really just wanted to fit in, go to high school, kind of be like a normal teenager. Which, obviously, in their predicament, they really couldn't do. But unlike one of my friends who thought that was a stupid thing, Robbie, I thought it was, you know, what else could you expect? If we're looking more into the teenage aspect of their life, that's probably what I'd imagine.
So, my number two, that has already been mentioned by Donald over there, is Across Is it Across the Spider-Verse?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. It's a pretty good movie.
That's all you have to say?
Did it? Did it pass the sleep test?
It did.
Okay. Enough said.
The second time that it failed.
The second time it failed?
Yeah.
All right, enough said. Stanley.
But Obi the Goat.
Sure. All right, that brings us to our number ones.
My number one. Yeah. Killers of the Flower Moon! Woo! Yeah! And you folks know this. It's only my number one because Tyler wasn't invited. no, but...
That's what this is always ranking about.
So, this movie, it's about... So, Leonardo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro is basically... you could see it as he's manipulating Leonardo DiCaprio, but really, I think Leo knows what he's doing throughout the movie. I don't remember the characters' names, and I apologize, but Leo is, he infiltrates, like, a Native American village, and he starts, dating one of them and becomes married to them, and, they start getting slowly killed one by one, and people don't know who's doing it.
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, and it's a surprise, really, who's doing it. I mean... But it's a very, very good movie with great acting. Everything just fits together like a puzzle piece, and it's just incredible. I would recommend Killers of the Flower Moon.
My number one, a much better choice, personally, is, of course, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Now, of course, this is coming from a huge, as I've said before, a huge, huge, huge comic book nerd. Big, big Spider-Man fan. You know, he's probably my second favorite Marvel hero. Daredevil's probably my first, but I won't go into the story of Across Spider-Verse, because, yeah, if I start that out, you kind of, it's spoiler territory. If you haven't seen this movie, what are you doing? Why haven't you? It's Spider-Man, come on.
Be invited.
Yeah, make sure you're inviting everybody to see this movie, because it's phenomenal.
Make sure you have friends that would like to invite you to your, to the movies.
But like I said, the music in this movie, of course, like the, songs, you know, selected from various artists, great choices. And then the actual soundtrack itself, also phenomenal. The whole beginning sequence, which I will not say what it was, but the music there was very good. I think it really kind of captured whatever that moment was. Of course, I'm not saying it reminded me a lot of, like, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse did a really good job at this, too. Because when Peter, or not Peter, but Miles Morales was walking through the school... After he got his superpowers and his puberty, he got bitten by radioactive spider and he was thinking it was puberty for some reason. If you notice, the drums started picking up a lot more as the thoughts started going into his head a lot, and it just started kind of crashing. It became really hectic, and I thought that was really cool. And there were scenes in that, like, you're in Across the Spider-Verse that they do the same thing. But other than that, acting across the board is phenomenal. Just beautifully animated. This is some of the best animation I've ever seen in my life. I'm beyond excited for Beyond the Spider-Verse. Okay. But, yeah, go see this. I don't know. If you haven't, why haven't you? Are you stupid? No, okay. That's my number one, though.
Okay. Tyler, what's your number one?
My number one is Demon Slayer, Swordsmith Village.
Tell us about it.
It's the best animation of the year. The Oscars are biased against Japanese animation.
You might be right.
They nominated Boy and the Heron.
No, that's true. Well, of course they did. It's Ghibli.
Yeah.
No, the reason this didn't get nominated, Tyler, is because it's not really a movie.
It is a movie.
It's a special. It had the last two episodes of Entertainment District and the first episode of Swordsmith.
Did that make Mugen Train not?
No, because Mugen Train was actually a movie, and but, then they made an arc.
But then still the shows.
No.
There's the TV episodes for it. No, but really good animation, great story. Is it? And, yeah. Gotta watch it. Can't really give spoilers since it's the
definitely.
Season finale. And
I do agree. Beginning of the season. Demon Slayer's got some great animation. And it was really cool to see, but I don't technically count in that area of movie.
Okay. So that was our top 10 of the year. Just to recap, my top 10 was Past Lives, May December, The Killer, Barbie, Anatomy of a Fall, Oppenheimer, Bo is Afraid, Spider-Verse, Poor Things, and Killers of the Flower Moon. Nate, what was your top of the year?
My top of the year was, to reiterate, Iron Claw, Boy and the Heron, the Super Mario Bros. Movie, Wonka, Godzilla Minus One, Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, and, of course, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Okay, Tyler, what was your top of the year?
Number 10 was Megan, and then Blue Beetle, Napoleon, The First Slam Dunk, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, The Super Mario Movie, Oppenheimer, Iron Claw, Across the Spider-Verse, and then Demon Slayer, Swordsmith Village.
Okay, so now we're going to get into the film discussion. The Oscars discussion went on a little bit longer than I anticipated. And our top 10 especially went on longer than I anticipated. But, so we're going to go into the new Jason Statham movie directed by David Ayer, which is called The Beekeeper. It stars, once again, Jason Statham as a kind of post-John Wick-esque figure who is working on a farm. He's a beekeeper, as the title would suggest. So he's working on this farm, and for an old lady, he's doing the beekeeping, making honey, all that. And then the old lady gets scammed on a website and in a very unbelievable fashion kills herself because of it. And post-John Wick character is very upset that this old lady died. And so he goes to the building of the company that scammed her, and he starts going, again, John Wick style, killing everybody. And then we have to learn about the president. Then we have to learn about the FBI. There's a lot of things in there that are pretty unnecessary, and that I felt like we're only there to build up sequels and everything like that, even though I don't know if this movie's going to be successful enough for sequels. I'm sorry.
I doubt it.
But it was pretty decent. I had a good time with it. Nate, what were your thoughts on this movie?
I'd say about the same thing. Yeah, like, I thought it was a good time. The action was pretty good. Their action sequences, yeah, were funny, fun, violent. But it did remind me a lot of John Wick, but I've really only seen the first John Wick, if I'm thinking correctly. But, it kind of feels just like a John Wick ripoff to me. But I guess, you know, it was cool enough. We got to see, a female president for the first time. I mean, I'm sure there have been in other movies. I'm not sure. But that was cool. The FBI characters are, like, two main ones. I thought they were not that good. And then, honestly, whenever they went on screen, I kind of... I just got upset because it wasn't there. They weren't that great at acting. They weren't that interesting. But pretty much what you kind of said is what I'd agree with. It was a fun time, but it wasn't really a good movie. It was just all right.
I will say that there was a female president in another movie this year called Red, White, and Royal Blue that was not very good. So Tyler, what were your thoughts on The Beekeeper?
It was a really good movie. Definitely deserved sequels. Unlike these other two, who don't think it does. But, I'd say, I haven't seen any John Wick, so I can't say it's a John Wick ripoff. But from what I've seen of it, it's pretty good. Really good. I agree with the FBI characters. They could have been a lot better.
So, to give you some context, I had to go to the bathroom for like 10 minutes, and it turned out that was the last 10 minutes of the movie, so... I missed the last 10 minutes of the movie. So what I thought would be fun is if we went, based on memory, what we thought happened in the new Jason Statham film, The Beekeeper, directed by David Ayer, if we went almost scene by scene.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
So what do you guys... I told you guys about the beginning... how this old lady, in a very unbelievable fashion, kills herself because she got scammed. So what happens from there?
Pretty much. So, kills herself. Jason Statham, or whatever his name is.
Whoops.
Say it again. Pretty much old lady killed herself. And Jason Statham, I can't really... Yes. The beekeeper goes inside to give her some more honey. And... he finds her there.
It's for dinner.
Huh?
It's for dinner.
It's for dinner, okay.
Because he got invited.
Right, yes, you're right. But he's there, sees it. But what happens then is her, the old lady's daughter ends up coming there, and she's the FBI agent. And she sees her mother, you know, dead, and finds the beekeeper and immediately thinks it was him who killed her.
Because he was holding a knife.
Yes, because he was holding a knife. He remembers something. That's interesting.
I passed the sleep test.
So, go ahead, sorry.
Tyler, give us your rendition of the beekeeper. Give us the dramatic reading.
Or am I continuing from the point where he gets caught with a knife? He gets brought in. There is almost nothing about this guy and when they did a background check on him. Besides that he lived on the property, so it was him, because he was leasing the property from her. And then they find out that all her accounts were hijacked, and he called in a favor with the Beekeeper Association and went and burnt down the entire place, the call center that scammed her. And then they get sent, and then the call center sends people to go kill him back at the barn that he was living in. And he takes care of all those people. And so then he discovers that it's bigger than just that one call center, and then he starts wiping out call centers and just tries to find the source of the problem of the call centers, and that turns out to be the president's son.
Which he's played by Josh Hutcherson, which we know for his amazing performance in the Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
And then they track him down, and he kills him. And it's off scot-free.
Okay, so what did we think? Was this movie good?
Yes. I gave it a 6. It's probably a 5 now that I'm thinking about it.
At least a 9.
You're kidding. Yeah. It's a 5 or a 6 out of 10. Like, fun. There were some really fun action moments, but other than that, it was seriously, like, as Donald said, they were really just building this world that they were definitely intending on making sequels and spinoffs. And I don't know if it needs to be that. It's not John Wick, and we already have John Wick still, and there's spinoffs and sequels for him coming.
There already is a spinoff?
It'd go right there.
What?
You are not telling me you just put that in between Mario and Oppenheimer?
Well, it's a 2024 movie.
I know. I'm just saying where I would rank it if it was part of my
top. Where would it be?
It'd be number 5.
You should watch John Wick, Tyler. I think you would like it, especially
John
Wick
4.
Yeah,
you would actually like that. They're good. Well, the first one.
I need to watch the Equalizer.
Oh, yeah. Denzel. I haven't seen that. Okay. So at the end of every episode, we're going to be doing a recommendation. We're going to be taking turns recommending these movies. So the first week, it'll be me. Next week, it'll be Nate. Next week, it'll be Tyler, if he's actually going to be the third chair. We don't know yet. So it's going to go, what is it, clockwise? Counterclockwise. So whatever the order this is in, that you guys can't see because we're an audio platform. My recommendation for the next podcast is a movie called Nope.
I knew you were gonna.
Do you not want to watch it?
No, I do, but I knew you were gonna say no.
Do you want a different one? No?
I'll watch it.
You'll have to.
Okay, I'll watch it.
Okay. Okay, so the movie that I'm going to recommend for the next podcast is a movie called Nope. It's by Jordan Peele, who's famous for directing Get Out. He also directed Us, and I'm, like, the only person who likes Us better than Get Out, but I think Nope is the more successful out of the three of his films. So, next week, we are going to be covering the film Nope. It should be on Amazon Prime if I... Ba-ba-ba. Okay, so it's on Peacock. I also have the Blu-rays that we can maybe give to Tyler if he wants to watch it before next week. The movie
it was on Prime?
Peacock. Oh. You can give Tyler your password.
Yeah, I'll give him my account.
Okay, so thank you for listening to this overly long podcast about movies that probably nobody's going to listen to, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was...
I was Donald.
I'm Donald Waters.
I'm Nate Hall.
I'm Tyler Karsten.
And have a happy Killers of the Flower Moon.
Best Picture Day.
Have a happy Best Picture Day. And have a happy Best Picture Day. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Want to say any last words, Tyler?
Eat Domino's.
Eat Domino's. Okay, bye-bye. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.